104.5 The Zone, WGFX FM, Gallatin, Nashville. And you're listening to the Blaine and Mickey Show. We are live in the middle of Titans press conferences. They moved their practice today, but they were afraid it was going to rain. And by gosh, they were not going to miss a chance to put Julio Jones and his teammates on the field. So Mike Vrabel has spoken. I guess Big Jeff has spoken. Still going to hear from Josh Reynolds. We're still going to hear from Julio Jones. As soon as Josh Reynolds starts to speak, we will go live. You can hear from that receiver. And then when he's finished, you will hear from the Titans' newest receiver as well, Julio Jones. But Blaine, that dude, Mike Vrabel said, he got here, he took his physical, everything was cool, the trade was consummated. He said, look, I got to go to Atlanta and get my stuff, but I'm going to come back and I'm going to practice with you guys on Thursday. And sure enough, that dude was out there getting it done earlier today.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. From everybody you talk to, from the time he came out of college to all the way to the day, he's all about business. And he's a pro's pro, and I'm not surprised at all. So anybody got any questions about Julio? Well, guess what? We're about to listen to him, and Mr. Reynolds, I think, will be first. So we shall see who's first here, Reynolds or Julio Jones. Julio right. Jones is next.
Let's go.
Good. Well, welcome to the team. So the way this works is the media has entered some questions in the chat, and I will call on them one by one to ask their question.
Okay.
They have their cameras off, so you won't be able to see them, but they can obviously see you.
Okay.
So Jim White, want to get us started?
Hey, Julio, welcome to town. You've been with the same team for so long. What's it like joining a new team, and what's the reception been like here in Nashville?
First off, man, I just want to thank Atlanta. It was home for me for the last decade, the fan base, the Atlanta Falcons, the whole organization. Without them, they gave me the opportunity to showcase, my ability and what I can do, and, obviously love the game. But being here at the Titans, I love it. I'm very excited to be a part of this organization. Just the team camaraderie, just the whole atmosphere and everything here, just feels like when I was in college, at the University of Alabama. It's amazing here. So, that's where I'm at right now. Had a great day today. Just finished the workout. So I'm excited, about being here.
Teresa.
Julio, how are you feeling? A lot of people have been pointing out that you missing games last year. How are you feeling right now? Obviously, you work today, but for a guy who's 32 and people are ready to write you off, how are you feeling right now? And how do you expect to answer those folks?
For me, at the end of the day, I believe in me. I know what I have in the tank. And we're talking about age is 32. Like, I'm young. Like, in football, you can say it's old, but you either do it or you don't. This game don't change for me. I'm still fast and still strong. And the games last year, I just, had an issue where I didn't take enough time to heal up properly. But, that was just my decision on going out there and just playing. There's no excuses, things like that. But I'll be ready to go. So for those who questioning my health and things like that, just stay tuned.
Yeah, Julio, obviously, in your time in Atlanta, you were targeted frequently. That probably isn't going to be the case here with the Titans, but have you had conversations with some of the guys just about, adjusting to that and accepting it and still excelling?
It's just, at the end of the day, you want to create a winning culture, however you need to do it to get the job done. My whole career, I've never been a stat guy. Previous years, everybody always asking me what you thinking you're going to do? What's your prediction? Things like that. I've never been a stat guy. I'm a team guy. I'm just excited to be a part of the organization. Whatever they need from me to do, I'm willing to do it and play my role and play it at a high level.
Kayla.
Hey, Julio, welcome to Nashville. You got a lot of guys reaching out on this team that wanted you here. A.J. Brown, that's going to be across from you, one of those main guys. What has your relationship been already with him? I know you probably haven't seen him a lot, but how excited are you to work across from him this year?
I'm very excited. Just for us to be a 1-2 punch or a 1-1 punch, or however you want to look at it, he's definitely a number one receiver. Definitely a dog, very has that competitive nature in him. And just showing him, you know, little things that I know from, you know, experience being in the league. But he has it all, you know. And we've been hanging out even before this, even when I was in Atlanta. He used to call me and things like that. So we always talked on the phone. Off season, we talked. So now just being able to play with him, it's going to be a great, and it's going to be a very exciting season.
Paul.
Hi. After spending so much time with Matt, how much of a challenge will it be to develop a relationship with Ryan? How much time do you think it will take, and what are the keys to building that relationship?
Me and Ryan, we done hung out already. We done went out to dinner. And just talking, you know, communication. But I don't think it's going to take no time at all. I mean, he's a veteran player. I'm a veteran player. You know, you just got to go out there and just repetition at the end of the day, really just going out there and just, you know, this is where I wanted at. Can you put it here? And where he wants me at, can I get there? So it's just us working together, because at the end of the day, you know, as long as we're on the same page, we're going to be successful.
Joe Rexroad.
Yeah, Julio, just wondering how much in terms of looking at this offense you've considered.
I can't hear you.
Oh.
You went out.
Sorry. Has that helped? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, sorry. I was just wondering, looking at this offense, how you feel like you fit in, how you, Josh, and AJ might be able to move around, and then just what it will mean to play with a running back like Derrick Henry behind you.
I mean, you know, defense is like, you know, you really don't have to pick your poison. So, I mean, if you want to, you know, stay in the box, put, you know, 9 in the box, right? Guy like Derrick Henry in the backfield, you know, you got to respect him. So then that's when me and AJ go to work outside. And then if you only got 8 in the box, Derrick going to go to work in the backfield. You know, great offensive line, things like that, scheme, stuff like that. But, I mean, you just got to pick your poison at the end of the day. But we're just going to go out there and play for one another. That's the culture of the team here. Just going out there and enjoying it, just having fun, and also just do your job at the end of the day.
John Glennon.
Hey, Julio, I wonder if you could talk just a little bit about maybe your decision, you know, after a decade to move on from Atlanta, what went into that, and do you feel like you had any say so at all in where you might wind up? You know, did you at least provide some input, or was it, you know, did you just sit back and wait kind of?
Like I said, at the end of the day, Atlanta was amazing to me. You know, I'm, you know, obviously with my new team now, I'm excited to be here. And that's that for us, you know what I'm saying, that situation. So, I mean, I love it. Like the organization, you know, the people there, my teammates, like I said, the fan base, everybody. I enjoy my decade there. I'm on a new chapter in my life. This is where my focus is at, and, you know, can't wait to get started. So,
Ben Arthur.
Hey, Julio, welcome to Nashville. You talked about AJ Brown earlier. I was wondering what you kind of made of his recruiting campaign. Like the Instagram, the screen recording, like the audio, he shared some kind of like audio file of, you know, a message he sent you on Instagram and just, you know, TikTok and all that. What did you kind of make of just how badly he wanted you? Obviously you guys had a relationship, but just his efforts to want you.
Right. That's just who he is. Just a great guy. And he's going to be a great teammate as well. It just, you know, his respect that he has for me, and just like I said in our previous conversations, even before, you know, probably the trade came about and things like that, just us communicating, me helping him out, and now, you know, just being under one roof, being on the same team with one another, it's just like, you know, probably a dream, you know what I'm saying? But what he don't know is that, you know what I'm saying, I love to play with him as well. So it's definitely mutual. In that sense. So, like I said, this is going to be exciting. We just got to, you know, put that work in first. So.
Harry?
Julio, when it became, I guess, clear that the Titans were a contender to get you, how much investigating did you do on your own kind of about the organization and the team and kind of do little fact-finding missions with guys maybe that you knew or knew of around the league?
Well, I didn't do too much. You know, I know guys anyways that's on the team. Like I said, like Derek and AJ, right? And Terry Robisky was here, Harry Douglas was here, things like that. So just knowing about the organization then, but also it's just you have to be here to understand, you know, the feeling here as far as the fan base and the way they treat you, and it's unconditional about, you know, just effort. Just like you just feel like you can just go out there and just give your all. No matter what happens, you know, they're going to be behind you, right? Instead of just going out there and thinking, okay, if I make a mistake, I do this, you know, I'm to blame or I'm shamed and things like that. They definitely have that college experience atmosphere here. So that's what I love about it as well. And just the culture of the team.
So a couple more for you, Julio. Diana Rossini.
Hey, Julio, good to see you. Been a minute. Welcome to Tennessee. So you've done a really great job of explaining sort of what this has been like for you. But to go from Atlanta, where they do things different there, they have when you were there, to here where it's definitely a change for you. What is that like for you to go from Atlanta to now Nashville at 32? What has this been like? Can you give an example maybe where you realize, well, I'm not in Atlanta anymore?
No, I mean, at the end of the day, it's football, right? Like every game, it's just like game planning. You got to play certain teams a certain way. You know, you're going to do things differently. So, you got to just be ready on the fly at the end of the day. And that's, you know, the whole gist of things of being a professional, being a veteran is not, you know, you got to make the uncomfortable comfortable to you. And just different situations, like, you know, I feel like I can do any and everything. Whether if it's blocking, going out there and catching 10 or 12, you know, balls or whatever, or catching two or three balls. At the end of the day, it's just going out there and just doing what you need to do to, you know, for the team to be successful. So I don't look at it like, okay, well, my target's going to go down or this is going to go down. Like, none of us knows how that's going to work out, you know. So it's just speculations and everybody just looking at, you know, what they've done in the past and things like that. But who knows how people are going to play us now? Who knows anything? So it's just like, you just got to be ready for everything. And for me, just being a professional, what I do is just to be ready for everything. And it's just as far as I study, working out, and just being ready to go.
We have D. Orlando Ledbetter here from the Atlanta media, who's going to ask two questions for you. You want to go ahead and ask your two now?
Yeah, Julio, good luck over there in Nashville.
Thank you.
From the Atlanta perspective, could you shed some light on how we went from Falcon for life to you wanting to trade to, you know, Tennessee?
Yeah, that's, you know, just me and the Falcons, we have an agreement at the end of the day. You know, we discuss everything. And, you know, we just made the decision. I mean, it's just cut and dry. It's nothing to it. It's football, it's business. So, you know, you just got to accept whatever happens, happens. So it's just, like I said, just mutual agreement on it. And, you know, we just split up. So,
was the firing of Coach Dan Quinn a factor in that process? Or was it a bunch of factors, a myriad of factors to, you know, to where y'all decided to part ways mutually?
No. It wasn't nothing to do with Dan Quinn, the firing of Dan Quinn, anything like that. It just, you know, like I said, it just came to an agreement. We made the decisions and we're here now. So, like I said, I'm here. I'm in Nashville. I'm excited to be here. Expect big things from us just by our effort and what we're going to play the game.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Last question for you. Is there any significance to jersey number 2?
No, I just really picked it. You know, me and AJ and T. Hill, we was at dinner just talking. And then I was just like, he tried to give me the 11. And I was like, but I don't want it. It's your number. you know. So I was like, I'm just gonna go with the two. I don't know. I was just like, you know, me, you, Derek. You're not, it's, you know, I'm excluding Tannehill. He's 17. He's got a, you know, 17, right? But the two, 1 + 1 = 2, then 2 × 11 is 22. So it's kind of like, you know what I mean? You don't have to deal with us. It's all four of us, actually, but you don't have to deal with the whole offense. You know, it takes all 11 guys, but it just, some things just to, you know, keep the guys going and, you know, just have fun with it. Cause, you know, at the end of the day, it's our job, but we want to have fun with it.
Love it. Welcome to the team. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Julio. Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Julio.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Julio Jones meeting with Titans Media via Zoom. We know some of you are going to want to react to this. We'll give you time to do it. We got to take a commercial break. We'll take the commercial break. When we come back, Josh Reynolds, the other new Titans receiver, will be speaking. We'll hear from Josh Reynolds. We can take your calls in the last segment of the hour and throughout the day, anytime we have time, 615-737-1045. This is Blaine and Mickey, and this is 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Let's go live back again to St. Thomas Sports Park as Titans receiver Josh Reynolds is addressing the media via Zoom.
You know, they kind of got everybody rotating. So, you know, I'm wait till camp and see what they what the plan is for me. Just keep getting better and learn this offense.
Terry?
Josh, I know that for a lot of receivers who are around your age or so, Julio Jones was a guy that they probably grew up admiring and watching his game from afar. Did you have to, for a split second, kind of pinch yourself or think it was surreal when you looked on the practice field or in the meeting room and you go, that's Julio Jones?
No, I mean, you definitely can feel his presence out there, man, with him being a freak athlete. But, I mean, he's a good dude. First day out there, he was coaching guys up and, you know, just little technique things here and there. So, you know, you can just tell his mindset coming in is win games and, you know, whoever's out there, make plays.
Just a couple more for you, Josh. Joe Rexroad.
Yeah, kind of following up on that, Josh, it looked like you guys were having some good conversations today. I guess, what has that been like from that aspect, just talking game and talking scheme? And then also, how similar do you find anything that you're doing here to what you did conceptually, schematically with the Rams?
I'm sorry, blanked out a little bit. But we're, you know, to be able to learn from a guy that, and for me, it's my first time being in the league, learning from a guy that's kind of stature built like me. And so, you know, to be able to learn from a guy like that, who's been doing it at a high level for a long time. I mean, it's, you know, you can't get a lot of those. So, but as far as schematically wise, you know, I mean, you know, they had LaFleur here and you know, offenses are kind of similar, but different verbiage. So I'd say it's conceptually pretty similar, but you know, they throw their own twists on it. And, yeah.
Last question, David Beauclair.
Josh, everybody's talking about Julio and AJ as a 1-2 punch. Have you thought much about what it means maybe to be number three behind a couple guys like that, and what opportunities will be there for someone who the defenses aren't necessarily as concerned about?
Oh yeah, I mean, definitely. But you know, you don't really think about that kind of stuff. I mean, it's in the back of your mind. But I mean, at this point, it's getting better every day. For me, it's learning the offense front and back, and you know, for me to be able to do my job and get on the field as much as I can.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
And it's Titans wide receiver Josh Reynolds. We did miss a little bit of that taking the commercial break, but interesting to hear him say something. He's already reiterated something that Julio Jones said. Jones said, I've learned some things in my 10 years in the league, and I look forward to trying to teach these young guys. And Josh Reynolds basically said, Blaine, he's already teaching us some stuff out there. I mean, it's not often that you get to interact with a Hall of Famer, much less have one at your position. So whether you're A.J. Brown, who's had a fantastic start to your career, or Josh Reynolds, who's a guy who's had a productive career so far, will certainly be looking to expand his role and get better and better. He signed a one-year deal, so he's looking at this as a chance to catapult himself to his next contract in the NFL. But it's not every day you have a guy like Julio Jones out there, and he sounds like a guy who is more than willing to share everything he knows with those guys.
Well, I would say this, and that is all the veteran players. I know Julio gets highlighted because of, you know, who he is and naturally his pedigree, and he's going to be a Hall of Fame player. But I believe Autry and any veteran that comes in that helps out Bud Dupree and whoever else you want to mention are doing the same thing. So let's not act like Julio is doing something different than everyone else. Now, the one thing that I can say for Reynolds that will help him out a lot, he mentioned his stature. So what he was talking about was tall receivers and little things you can do to help you be small when you're running routes. They do have a disadvantage when it comes to routes, unless you know how to get down and come out of your breaks and drop in your arms, where the smaller guys kind of a little more elusive. So you're not as easy to read when you're coming out of your breaks and things. And I think that's what he was talking about. But he, you know, also addressed it. You know, Julio Jones is kind of a freak of a nature type guy. You know, I'm a real good athlete, but this guy is on a whole nother level. So and it's always good to hear. And reason why I say it like that, guys, and everybody listening, is because I told you Julio Jones is a team guy. That's who he is from the day he was in Alabama. Nobody could. They always said this guy was a team guy. Crazy to hear team guy, freakish athlete. Yeah. No diva. No. Oh, when I get the ball, I get the ball. When it's my turn to block, I will be blocking, and I will block just like anybody else. And I will be blocking hard. I'll go hard. I'm going to give it my best shot. And whatever happens, happens. A lot of people probably thought, well, it's a little boring. I mean, yeah, guess what? That's who he is. He's all about that work, putting in the work and the grind. He just flew here 2 days ago. Then he came back. He said, no, I'm going to be at the camp. I'll learn on the fly if I have to. I'm not worried about all that. I need to get out here and work and meet my teammates and start that chemistry and bond and kind of give them some tips here and there. And guess what? They can give me some tips, too, by the way of learning the offense. They've been around the offense, especially the quarterback, running back, other receiver that he had mutual respect for. So I think this is going to help. Actually, I keep saying it, Reynolds and Ferkser, whatever way they decide to go. And I think they're going to move them around this year a lot more than in previous years, because every coordinator or coach is trying to put their stamp on what they're different about. They could be running the same stuff, but they're going to move everybody around. Sometimes A.J. Brown will be the X. Sometimes, Julio Jones will be the X. Or Josh Reynolds. Let's move all around. All of them can play inside and out. So that's always fascinating. Guess what? As a defense, you can't hone in on where they're going to line up every time. And that causes confusion in itself. Yeah. I'm going to tell you that right now. So if they start doing some of those things, it's going to be fun to watch. I can't wait till they get out there and start interacting, throwing the ball around, man. Yeah, it's going to be a fun show. One I don't know if we've seen before in Titans history. We shall see.
You've talked about this before as a defense. If you get out on the field and a team starts doing something you're not prepared for, and then they send you over to the sidelines and you start having to figure out, okay, we don't just how much conflict that puts on a defense. And you've given examples of that over the years where you go out and the team does something you weren't expecting, or they do a different variation of something maybe that you hadn't seen. And it sounds like they will have the ability, like you were saying, maybe to do that and really put defenses in that spot where they send them to the sidelines trying to think, okay, now what do we do?
Right. Because like in preseason, they may just say, Julio line up left, A.J. Brown right, Josh Reynolds in the slot, Ferkser in the slot, whatever they want to do, Swain, on the line. And then all of a sudden they're basic formation. Then all of a sudden you say, okay, well, Julio is playing exactly where Corey Davis played. So we know he'll be exact. So when you go back and watch film, and which is I hate it, the first couple games, I'm always a little uncomfortable because you don't ever know if they're going to do what they did last year, especially if they have additions to their team or a change of a coaching staff, or whether it's coordinators or not. All right, because you know what they like to run. You get a comfort level. You understand the coordinator, how they think, and what they're thinking. All right, so you got a new coordinator who they're going to still run the base formation of plays, but you could come out and all of a sudden you come out in bunch formation. All of a sudden, Julio is in the slot. Whoa! Uh-oh! Watch out! They coming to him! Nope, they just run a little out there to old Reynolds, and he's wide open because we all focused on Julio! Yep. Yeah, so that's what happens. That's what he brings to the table. That's what I said. I don't know if he's going to help in the wins, loss, but he's going to make those wins a little bit easier. That you for sure, because he just draws that kind of attention, and he's an exceptional player and an exceptional human being, and everybody's getting to see that and how a big, talented, super-duper Hall of Fame player is supposed to act, and he's a team guy like he's just a regular old average NFL athlete, which he's not. Nope. That's who he is. Yeah. So I bet he's not a big media guy as far as just he likes to go about his business. I'm not saying he doesn't like the media, but I think he'd rather just let's just play ball. And then you heard him? Let my actions do the talking. When we get to playing, the actions going to speak about what I'm about. I don't need all this. I don't care about the attention. The attention be when we make them wins. The attention be when I score and I help our team win. That's who Julio is. He don't care about the catches and the targets. Guess what? That's us. Us in the media. What you going to do when you get the only three targets? Like, well, if we win it, I think I'm going to be fine with that. But, you know, I hope I at least do something with those three targets. I think we'll be happy, won't we? Because I think every time I touch it, I'm going to do something.
There's a little bit of footage of him. And I want Dr. Blaine to look at the footage because Dr. Blaine can usually tell things. This is a true story. I came back from practice one day. This has been years ago. And I was showing you the play where Corey Davis hurt his foot. And you said, oh, yeah, I see where he hurt his foot right there. I still have that play on my phone.
Yeah.
He went to cut, hurt his foot. And people remember that stunted his development. It was later on in the year before he really even he didn't catch a touchdown pass until the playoffs, the game in New England. And he had a slow start because he got hurt. And so I'm looking at that and you're like, hey, man, also, Logan Ryan's about to be a safety. I said, what? You said, he's rounding off his route. He's rounding off. He's covering
breaks.
Him like
his brakes.
His brakes, yeah. You said he's covering him like a safety would cover him, not like a corner would cover him. I said, oh. And you were like, yeah, run that again. I showed it to you again. You said, yeah, that's the way a safety would cover people, not necessarily a corner. He's probably headed towards being safety. Well, he's on the New York Giants right now, and he's a safety.
And doing a phenomenal job. And reason why I say that, yes. That's how I used to run out of those breaks. And they kept saying, you're not a corner, you're a safety. You know why? It's because my hips started getting tight and I couldn't come fluently out of those breaks to come right down at an angle. Had to round it a little bit. Yeah, and I didn't work on my flexibility. I was more on, oh, and my hips. I was more, oh, I want to develop power in my hips, not flexibility. And sometimes it's just age and it just happens. And that's kind of how I looked there, and he can still get the job done, but at times there are going to be times where you just won't. I just hope, Julio, when you watch him, when you see a big human being like that, 6'4", come fluently out of his breaks, you go, oh my goodness. Yeah, I mean, it's a scary feeling. Like just watching practice as a DB, like, dang, man, this dude is running around like he's 5, like he's Adam Humphries.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is just a different man. And he's not supposed to be able to do that. Oh, my bad. Not at 32 either. Guess what? I'm glad they poking him because every athlete has a form of motivation. Guess what? Oh, I'm 32. That, you heard him? That's still young. I'm still could get up to top speed. Trust me. He's clocking himself. He knows where he's at in his career, and I say he still's got some high level, and I think you said it, juice. And guess what? Been on a new team, he not only brings juice himself, but he gets the team juiced up. Practice a little faster, the tempo's faster, everybody's pumped up. Oh, we got Julio, we are unstoppable. We already thought we were good, now we unstoppable.
Mm-hmm. You got a Hall of Famer with a work ethic. He shows up working, doesn't he? He really could. He could have said, "I'm going to be in Atlanta, get my stuff." He showed up to work. You know, everybody else thought if that dude drove all or flew from Atlanta to work just for today, I'm going to work my butt off today too to match what he's doing.
Yeah, and get some tips too. Get some tips to help myself be better.
Woo. No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Cousin Paxton is on the phone. Hey, man, you want to react to any of this stuff that you hear? And phone lines are wide open, 615-737-1045. Cousin Paxton wants to talk about Julio. What's up, cousin?
Man, I tell you what, guys, it is amazing watching a human being that size move the way he moves, man. I mean, it's you know, we got Derrick Henry already as one freak, and now we got this guy, man. I mean, it's insane to watch, man. One thing I can't wait to watch is our cornerbacks, our young cornerbacks especially, getting the chance to get some work from a Hall of Fame wide receiver. I mean, it is iron. This is the true definition of iron sharpening iron, guys. I'm really loving this. Julio looked really well today. You know, what hamstring injury I'm looking at or what they were talking about, I didn't see it. The way he was making breaks and cuts, he looks like he's 100%. But one thing I want to say before I go is I haven't heard a lot of people talking about this person being benefited the most from having Julio. We've heard Ferguson, we've heard A.J. Brown, we've heard, you know, even Reynolds. But what about Todd Downey? I mean, look what he gets to inherit his first year as a play caller. He gets to give the ball to Derrick Henry. He gets to have A.J. Brown over the middle, and he gets to have Julio Jones on his team. I mean, this guy is probably foaming at the mouth, guys. So Todd Downing is definitely the most beneficial in this whole situation, man. Hey, guys, I love the show. Blaine, you guys kept doing your thing, Blaine and Mickey. I'll hang up and listen, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, he brought up some great points there, but, you know, Todd Downing, he's inheriting a lot in that. Guess what? He also inherited a lot to keep everybody happy, too, by the way. Yeah. Yeah, that comes with the territory and expectations that you're exposed to when you put up 30 points every game without a question. I don't care who you're playing. Yeah, you're supposed to be up there with the Chiefs. That's what people are going to expect, and I think that's what they expect. So you'll see how well he does with that in transitioning, being a play caller. He was a play caller, I think, with the Raiders in, 17 or so, somewhere like 2017. So it's been a little bit. So we shall see if he can get the rust off there in preseason, be ready to rock and roll. Oh, another thing, he talked about his hamstring. You know, Julio, if you really listen to Julio, he said, that was my fault. I got on the field too soon because I wanted to be out there. Yeah. See? Oh, well, this is not a dude that sits around and says, I'm going to let my hamstring heal. Full go.
Yeah.
Nah, because he wanted to be out there with who? His teammates. Because he knows even just on the field, he's a contributor. That's the type of guy this is. And he kept talking about chemistry and locker room and all those things and kind of that college feel. That's what goes on with the Titans, and that's what he loves to be around. So, you know, hey, Julio, man, he's going to be a huge addition. Just how much I can't wait to see. Because there's been a couple times now, you know, there was a CJ2K, then it's been the A.J. Brown and Henry Day. And every time they touch the ball, you get up out your seat. You know something about to happen. Now we add Julio. And see what
Julio
happens. Yeah, that is excitement. Must watch TV. Man, great addition by Amy, Adam Schrunk, JR, and Vrabel. The place is going to be packed. It's going to be a packed house. So whatever they didn't get in benefits last year as far as income to the stadium, they're going to reap all that back. Woo.
Yeah, and in number two jersey sales too. By the way, we'll play, if you're just getting on board with this, a great quote from Julio about why he picked number two initially. So there's no significance, and then he gave an amazing answer about that. We got to take a break. When we come back, Joe from Nashville will lead us off. We want to hear from you. If you're not fired up today, you don't have a pulse. It's Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Busy day. Lots going on. Julio Jones in town practicing today with the Titans, speaking after practice. We've got some bits and pieces of that we'll play in the second hour of the show. We'll also hear from Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans in Houston. They're not going to do any mandatory minicamps. They're just practiced up. They don't need any more practice. They've got 17 running backs and a bunch of second-string quarterbacks, and they're just ready to roll. I don't know, man. I don't know what they're doing. Joe from Nashville, I know he's on the line, though, and wants to talk to us about Julio. Joe, welcome in to Blaine and Mickey. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, not much. Just a quick thought. I know we've had, great receivers in the past, but with the core receivers we have now, with A.J. Brown and Reynolds and, of course, now Julio. Do you actually think that that could possibly even help in the running game as well? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, let's talk to an all-pro defensive back and see what he thinks about we just happen to have one of those guys.
I just happen to be available.
So, yeah Blaine, how is that going to work?
Well, I think Julio, you know, said it very well. He said you got to pick your poison. You can put 8-9 guys in the box to stop Henry. If you don't, you go out here and double, you know, him or Julio. So either, you know, Ferkser or Reynolds or even the running game then opens up. And I tell you one thing, though, no linebackers or DBs want to tackle Henry one-on-one in space, especially with him with that engine revving. And you're getting a running head start. It'll benefit all across the board. So eventually, once Tannehill, who makes great decisions, dissects the defense and sees what they're eventually in, as long as they're on the same page, I think it's no stopping them. That's why I said, you know, the pressure, if you want to give it that, most NFL players relish that. We're going to be ready because we feel like we're unstoppable. And I'm telling you guys, that's a heck of a feeling if you feel like you're unstoppable. I know they felt it last year, but with another weapon like that, the confidence is just going to skyrocket on the offense. It's going to be an interesting year offensively. I think the true test is them getting their chemistry together throughout the season and then hitting in stride in the postseason, in the playoffs. And same for the defense as well. Get those young guys up to speed. That's one of the callers called in and talked about that a little bit. I didn't really hit on that. Having Julio there, I mean, A.J. Brown is helping them now, but Julio going against one of the best ever is going to help those guys develop, I think he said, sharpen iron even faster. When you're going against great receivers at practice, I'm going to tell you, when I was a rookie, I got better immediately because I knew what I needed to work on. From OTAs to mini camps to training camp, I got better at all three levels. And I was going against my rookie year, which that was their last year there. Webster Slaughter, Ernest Givens, Haywood Jeffries. I mean, Curtis Duncan. I mean, just to name a few. And I was just like, whoa.
And man. Remind people who the QB was.
Oh, yeah. And Warren Moon was pinpoint accurate. I mean, I'm talking about, I've never seen a guy throw a ball like that. I was like, my gosh, what the heck is going on? I mean, then they had Gary Brown, Lorenzo White was last year there as well. Running back. I mean, so that helped me get better immediately, especially a guy coming from like Ball State. I had never, going against guys in those all-star games and a couple times a year during a regular season, you go and get some talented players like that. But and that's when you know you have to put in work. That's when I had loose hips. So then I made sure I stayed out of the weight room, Mickey. So I had loose hips. I wasn't rounding my breaks then. And then as time went on, it was like, whoa. I couldn't believe how some of these guys could stop on a dime like that, especially Webster Slaughter. He was a precise route runner, man. Underrated, really great player. I didn't say really good player, great player. And people remember mostly with the Browns, which I did too, watching him during high school. But, man, and he tore his ACL there at the end because he was stopping on a immediate dime and could just, oh, man, it was incredible. So I made sure I went against him all the time, every day. And then he helped me. Mm-hmm. See, and that's how you get better. Pass on the knowledge. And that's what Julio seems like. That's part of who he is. That's part of his character.
Yeah, Webster Slaughter, over 8,000 receiving yards. And this was a different world in the NFL then.
Pro style when he was with the Browns.
Yep.
What they had, the Ernest Biner, Mack.
Yep.
Yeah, they would run the ball with Bernie Kosar.
And Ozzie Newsome getting his share of the catches at the tight end spot. Yeah, I mean.
But Webster Slaughter with them? Was he with, like, the Brian Sipe? He ain't that old, is he?
He was 86, so that should have been the tail end, right, for Ozzie? Maybe Brian Sipe was gone by then because that would have been Bernie. But I'd have to look, man.
Yeah, those are good old days, man. That was a good time. I was all in football right in front of the TV every Sunday.
Didn't somebody throw beer on you in the dog pound?
Oh, yeah, that was when I was Oh, my bad. I got Eric Zier from Georgia. Interception pick, 62 yards.
Yeah.
Right up on top of the snowbank in the end zone. They just – and, hey, I was partying with him. I was like, yeah, man, let's go party.
You got some free beer out of that deal that they threw at you.
Yeah, they gave you a little energy boost there.
That was kids. If people don't remember the 80s Browns, oh my gosh, and that old crappy stadium, and they rocked that place. You need to go back and Google you some 80s Browns. You want to see some crazy fans and a great team and how they never won a Super Bowl. They just couldn't get over the hump, mainly because the Denver Broncos had their number. But oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. They had some great teams, 80s Browns.
Yeah.
They into the 90s too.
Yeah, but then he tested Birdie was there too. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. We got more phone calls. When we come back, we'll start second hour of the show. Doug from Nashville, hold on. Scott from Cookeville, hold on. We'll take all your calls today. 615-737-1045. Julio in Nashville practicing with the Titans today. We'll hear from him as well in hour number two of the program. And Aaron Wilson also will give us the latest on what's going on in Houston. It's Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone.